You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
First up on this weekend's edition of Civic Media Spotlight, we go to the Todd Alba Show, where Todd is covering the topic of what's going on with the UW system and recent closures of two-year campuses.
And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba along Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program here on Thursday, November 6th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along here. Intersection of State and Fairchild, downtown Madison. Look outside, Zommers. It seems getting it's not getting cloudier. It's getting darker. By the way, we failed to mention yesterday was the big beaver moon. Did you know that?
I did not.
It was a full moon, and this was the beaver moon. The beaver moon was rising.
You know what? That's actually perfect timing.
I know.
Right now, I'm wearing my Hundreds of Beavers hat.
I know you are.
And tonight at the Driftless Film Festival in Mineral Point, they are screening the film Hundreds of Beavers.
See? See, I weave that in there. Just
you gotta do the weave.
You gotta do the weave. You gotta weave it in there. Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor and friend, he's changed over from Facebook to YouTube. This is big news in and of itself. He says, "I used to dance under the name Beaver Moon." I did not know that.
Now, Jeff, I know you have an extensive videotape collection. I'll leave it at that.
Now, all these years, I thought when he was going to work on Water Street in Platteville, I thought he was like working at Steve's Pizza, but no, he was dancing.
So good for him.
I have no judgment on it. You understand?
You uniquely develop some very strong muscles from that right. Kind of dancing.
Yes, absolutely. Many thanks to Dan Schaefer, our political editor here at Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, for being with us here in hour number one. How about that guy? I mean, he makes you feel better for having had him on the show and being around him. That's just who Dan Schaefer is.
He really does.
If you have not subscribed, please do so at therecombobulationarea.news. I don't push a lot of subscriptions on this show, only those that I believe in. And the Recombobulation Area is one of them. So check it out. He, along with Angela Lang and all kinds of other great people, they write some thoughtful things. Look, you might not always agree, but it's written smartly. And anybody who listens to this show knows I have an appreciation for anything that's written well. And the Recombobulation Area, numerous award winner because it's written well. So check them out at therecombobulationarea.news. Always a good read over there at the Recombobulation Area. So thanks to Dan for being here. Going to do a What's Worse here in a minute. Before we get to Wisconsin Fun Fact, I just want to thank all of our listeners and viewers. In hour number one, as we talked about these new changes being proposed on the University of Wisconsin system. And look, people always use Todd, you're a conspiracy theorist. Okay. Well, present me evidence that these questions that I ask about the UW system, I can't find answers to. So what else are you left to conclude that there is some sort of thing going on that people don't want us to see? Case in point, these new changes on general ed requirements for all UW institutions, as well as the core curriculum. It's going to be brought up and talked about in a Board of Regents meeting on November 19th. And you can't find this anywhere except buried in a Universities of Wisconsin memo way down under the question that says, what is the role of the regents in this process? And buried in there, it says, it is anticipated that the Board of Regents will consider RPD 4-X at a special meeting on November 19th. And they're soliciting comment and feedback. So there's a meeting coming up on the 19th of the Board of Regents, which they don't want you to know about, but I'm telling you. And the part of the public comment period already ended. There is another part that goes until this Sunday. So if you have feelings on this, it might be easier just to call your state legislator, your senator, or your assembly person, or call Governor Tony Evers' office. Because remember, he has nominated the majority of the border regions now. I would tell you to call the president of the Board of Regents, but I honest to God don't know who that is anymore. When they were the president of the Board of Regents, that was a big job. And that person would hold press conferences, and everybody knew him. I can't tell you who that person is right now because you never hear him. You never see him. They're silent. And what they're doing, in my opinion, based on reporting, we're still going to work. We're going to follow up with this next Monday or next week. As I dig into this further, you know, Yogi Berra, you guys know one of my favorite Yogi Berra sayings is, you can see a lot just by looking around. That's kind of the way I do things. You can see a lot just by looking around. Just talk to people. Go have coffee with them. I've told this story before. My former boss, Dale Schultz, when he was majority leader, he'd call the office and he'd say, I got to talk to Todd. And they'd be like, he's out. Where is he at? Having coffee with a reporter or whoever. And he'd be furious, absolutely furious. And I got back to the office one day and I called him back and he calmly picked up the phone because he saw the caller ID and he knew it was me. And he said, I want you to make a list of everybody in your life who's more important than me and we're going to go over it.
That's amazing. I think you have told that, but it's still great.
And years later, he said, you know, and now I realize why you went and had coffee with all those people. Because if you go and so much of life, right, is about relationships. You get to know someone and you build trust, not through press releases and emails. You just listen and talk. And sometimes you find out things, you know, by just talking about hunting or travel. And then people start talking about other things. And that's the way I get a lot of my information.
How I look at it is exactly the same as telling the truth. If you just tell the truth, it's easy because you don't have to keep your story straight.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
If you just be nice to people, you will feel better and you'll get better results.
Exactly right. So we're going to keep on this story. I'm a huge believer in the Wisconsin idea because I would not be where I'm at without the Wisconsin idea. Without going to a two-year college, without going into Platteville. And it irritates me that people who are put in positions of power, like Jay Rothman, the president of the UW system, and legislators, quite frankly, and even the governor, who I voted for the governor when he was school superintendent and every time he ran for governor. But this lack of transparency on this issue, I don't understand it. And I don't understand why they're not involving the public. If they want to close all the two-year campuses, which is looks like where it's headed, they should just say it and not blame it on low enrollment because that is totally bogus. Yes, that's real. The enrollment at these 2 years is low, but they don't want to talk about what I know to be factually true, that they are undercutting the 2 years by not providing adequate resources for recruitment anymore. And the same thing at some of the 4 years. So let's just be honest, Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux on the Republican side. Let's be honest, Governor Tony Evers on the Democratic side. Let's be honest, President Jay Rothman and Board of Regents. Let's have an open public discussion on the future of the Wisconsin idea. It at least deserves to die in the light of day. Instead of darkness. It's coming up on 15 past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for a Wisconsin fun fact.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of beauty, with your hillsides and your plains.
That's right. Time once again for Wisconsin fun fact. Jackpot. Hitherto unknown fact. On November 6th, 1837... Burlington, Iowa, was chosen as a temporary capital for the Wisconsin Territory. Construction had begun in Madison on a permanent Capitol building, and legislators first convened there in 1838. Since that time, no one from Wisconsin has ever set foot in Iowa again. And that's how we play Wisconsin Fun Fact. I did not know that.
You know,
that's news to me.
One of my friends went to Purdue.
Oh, the chicken or the university?
The university, I think.
Okay, very good. Study Purdue. Go ahead.
And so I'll have to share this fun fact with her.
All right, very good.
I think it will delight her.
Study Purdue, about Atlanta, Georgia. You're on Larry King Live. Jane in Madison, listening on WMDX, says, as a recent retiree from the UW system here, I have been watching the quote-unquote reorganizing and dismantling of the UW system from inside since about 2011, and it is anything but transparent. Thank you for the topic. The public needs to be the decider here, and decisions need to be made in the public interest. That hasn't been the process so far. Thank you. I appreciate that, Jane, in Madison on WMDX. Let's see here. Mary Mount Horeb asking on WMDX says, being the former superintendent of schools, why is Governor Evers supporting this, meaning these cutting of schools? I don't want to put words in his mouth, Mary. It's a good question, but I'm not suggesting he necessarily supports it, but you heard it in his own words there. He's not actively working to stop it or to quell it. At least he hasn't given us any evidence of that.
And since then, nearly 2 years ago, he hasn't said anything else.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get to Casper's comment here, one of our great engineers, because I thought this was really good. Casper on YouTube says, let's see here. What if the cure for cancer is locked inside the head of someone who can't afford to go to college? Another good point. And look, there are all kinds of debates whether basic public education or basic higher ed, like community colleges or the two-year colleges, whether that should be free or not. I think Casper says, hear me out. We could do what nearly all other countries do and offer a free public college education. Yes, that's certainly possible. That gets into how you fund it. Of course, one of the ways people have come on this network, patriotic millionaires, start by taxing the one percenters. As our guest said, it was earlier this week or last week from Patriotic Millionaires, Chuck Collins, we're talking about the people that are making $40 million plus. We're not talking about your local farmer or your local small business person. We're talking about the 40 million plus category, 100 million, 500 yeah, million,
that
a
was
billionaire.
Last week. Yeah. Another part of their message, notably, if you tax these people who make obscene amounts of money, another part of their suggested tax reform is that the first $45,000 are not taxed.
Right.
Which, so that option. Helps everybody.
There's an option there, too. All right, coming up on 19 past the hour. Let's do this quick. Open it up. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. The choice is yours. Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved. Just a chance to have your voice heard on all 10 news talk sports stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. Timely, timely indeed. Times are tough. But one of the cheap things out there to have dinner, eggs. Today's category, what's worse, scrambled eggs or over easy eggs? Scrambled eggs or over easy eggs? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or text us on the Civic Media app, scrambled eggs or over easy eggs. Tom in New Berlin says, hey, went to work early this morning at 4:30. The moon was cool looking, which wish I would have snapped a picture. It was cool looking. That beaver moon rising over Wisconsin. Come on back. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Civic Media Spotlight. We now go to a segment from this week's Nightlight with Pete Schwabo, where Pete spoke with Heather Heil from the Green Bay Children's Museum.
Thanks, okay, Pop. Welcome back, folks. It's Pete Schwabo in Nightlight with the dancing Heather Heil. Dave on the stream says, just a bit outside. There you go. That's a nice... Conrad, are you over the Brewers yet?
No.
Did you watch any of the World Series?
No, I had to.
It was maybe the greatest World Series ever.
It kind
of
was.
A lot of people are saying that. I mean,
yeah.
Come on, my team was out. I know your team went out after mine. Your team knocked mine out. So if I can get over it and enjoy the World Series.
Yeah, but, you know, it just wasn't as fun for me because we got swept.
I get it. I get it. That sucks.
I know, but by the national champions.
You want, yeah, exactly.
Like, I've got to look at this like positive.
World champs,
excuse me.
Not national.
World. I wanted Toronto to win more than anybody, but.
Yeah, I really wanted them to
win. I was so dead.
Oof. I was back and forth because my parents were going for the Blue Jays, and I would go over there. And I, you know, I'm not, the Dodgers are not my favorite team, but I lived there long enough, took my kids, blah, blah, blah. So I like the Dodgers. So they get a hit and I go, yeah, just from instinct. And my mom would go, who are you cheering for?
Yeah.
I'm like, why are you mad at me?
Mom.
Like the Blue Jays are not your team either.
But we just hate the Dodgers that much that we wanted them to win.
I was going for the Blue Jays. I admit it.
Yeah, same.
Tyler on the stream in the 608 says, the gods must be crazy about the effect that a discarded Coke bottle can have. I forgot about it. You ever see that?
The gods must be crazy?
Yeah.
Yes, I did see that.
From like 1985, maybe?
Wild.
They find a Coke bottle and mm-hmm. kind of upon a sub-Sahara African culture. Very great stuff. And all right, I think, are we caught up on TextCon?
We got a couple more.
We got a couple more. Okay, we could say it. Let's not.
That's easy.
Blow all the text right away.
Yeah.
All right. So Heather Heil is here from the Green Bay Children's Museum. She is the director of business development. She was telling us all about this great campaign they have, the Reaching New Heights campaign, where they've raised, I mean, more than about three quarters of the money you need.
We do. Yeah.
About $1 million short.
Yep. About $1 million to go. It's nothing to shake a stick at. So
you know who you should talk to?
Who?
Elon Musk.
Oh, Elon. Yeah, my buddy.
He's got some walking around money.
Like, hey, maybe a little something for your girl.
He should help out here in Green Bay too.
I agree.
You're doing great things here. So tell us about some other stuff coming up at the museum. You've got really just I love reading about your events. I wish I had young kids again.
Because mm-hmm. can always volunteer, you know. I would welcome you with open arms.
What would
to come
I do
volunteer.
If I was a volunteer at the Green Bay Children's
Well,
Museum.
You would tell me what you would want to do. So you would tell me your skill set. Like, hey, I'm not really people-y, so maybe I could clean something. Or I'm really people-y, or I want to do a science experiment with kids. Wow. Or I want to read to kids. Or this is where I really feel I would be most impactful. And after the background check on you and you
Oh, they
got to
do a background check?
Oh, yeah, I got to do a background check.
No thanks.
Sorry. Hard pass.
I would say these hands are registered lethal weapons.
Oh, well,
is that okay. What the kids want to hear?
That's exactly what the kids want.
I did that when
the
I was.
The kids do, the parents don't.
I was working at my daughter's school, and I went up to the principal at the end of the year, and I said, "Hey, when you did the background check on me, everything checked out, right?" And he goes, "Yeah."
And he was like, "I didn't really do it,
he
but I guess I'm going to do it."
Started sweating, and I just went, "Huh?" And he goes, "What's up?"
Is there something you need to tell me? Is this that moment?
Of course I passed.
No. Yes.
Conrad, do you ever have a background check?
Yeah, I think so.
Did
yeah.
you have to do it to get this job?
I can't remember. I think so. Yeah. I don't remember.
The only sure thing on my record is that I stole a bunch of radio equipment. Other than that, I'm fine. All right, let's hire.
I got parking tickets, you know.
Oh,
that's
see.
About all I have on my record too.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, I know. So, but
I think that's all
I've
I
had
have.
It pulled on me a couple times. So
speeding?
Not. Knock on wood.
I don't really speed anymore just because
oh,
I don't
do
get
all
a
the time because I'm always late. I am.
But it saves you like 30 seconds at the end
know,
of the day.
But
you know?
I just am like, gotta go.
I've got business.
Anxiety.
I've got business to develop.
Yes.
All right. So,
what is the matter with you?
Tell us what is coming up at the Green Bay Children's.
Okay,
so the holidays are right around the corner.
The holidays right around the corner. So we have our holiday extravaganza kind of kicking things off coming up on November 22nd. So that's where we have right after the holiday parade, Santa and his live reindeer come to the museum. And we have the largest indoor snowball fight Green Bay has ever seen.
Yeah.
So you can come inside and do that. And Santa gets involved and get some really great photos. And again, get your science on with that stuff.
Yeah.
After that, we go into our breakfast with Santa that we have. And then we, of course, go into all other holidays because we celebrate equally at the museum and learn about all of the different traditions that people here in Northeast Wisconsin do. And we have Hanukkah. And okay. we celebrate the Hanukkah is the menorah. See, I'm going to talk. You're not firing in all cylinders.
You're
right
fine.
Now.
The menorah. Yeah.
The menorah, just in work with lights and the Chinese New Year and all of those things start coming up. Also, our New Year's, one of our other biggest events is our Kids Rockin' Eve event on New Year's Eve. And at noon, the fire department comes with their ladder truck and does a countdown with us and like lowers their ladder.
I
and
bet
they
the
can
kids
do,
lose their
the
mind
kids
over that.
The kids lose their mind. It's so awesome. We're excited. I'm going to let a little sneak peek out. There might be something with K-pop happening well.
Just love some K-pop.
Going to put that out there.
What is it about firefighters? Because I remember when I took my son Joe to his elementary school, they had firefighters come. This is shortly after 9/11. It was about probably a couple months after. And the firefighter, we went to the firehouse in Van Nuys, California. We were doing this tour and then they got a call.
Yeah, so cool, right?
It was unbelievable. And here's what happens when you hang out with a bunch of comics. I said to my friend Paul Gilmartin, and I think my friend Jimmy Dore was in the car. The three of us are in there. And I said, and this fire truck pulled away and the kids are watching these firefighters. And I got to tell you, I had a lump in my throat. And Paul goes, are you sure it was in your throat? But it was, it was exciting. Kids love firefighters.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Honestly, one of my greatest fears in this world is that kids at some point will not want to grow up and be a firefighter or a police officer anymore. So as long as I am living in this world, I will always champion for them to see that and to feel that, because police officers and firefighters are amazing human beings and we love you and people do support you and just keep being you.
And you can say that because you dressed like a construction worker for the first part of the segment.
I love all people.
Heather Heil is here. We're coming back after the news. We're going to give her a Green Bay Packers quiz. That'll be fun, folks. Don't leave and tell us what your favorite documentary is. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media Spotlight. We now head up north for a segment from Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, where Pat sat down with Dr. Kelly Snooks to talk about the rise of measles in the state.
Democratic leader Greta Neubauer about the government shutdown and the impact on SNAP benefits to working families around Wisconsin. We'll talk with Joe Sopecki. We'll have Sherita Booker in talking about some of the weekend events you can attend around the state. Chad Holmes will join us from 98.9 WXCO, our civic media station in Wausau, with stories from his neck of the woods. Todd Alba from the conveniently named Todd Alba Show will visit, as will Sean O'Malley to talk about your money and the markets, all ahead on a busy Thursday on these mornings powered by Up North News. At Up North News, we have a new video series, Raising Wisconsin, featuring pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks. Follow it on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Again, just search for Up North News WI, the aforementioned Dr. Kelly Snooks joins us now as well to visit for a bit and talk about measles outbreaks and more. Dr. Snooks, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's so nice to have you here. Again, by and large, on a proactive matter to help keep people healthy. Unfortunately, part of the reason that we're talking today is that we've had these measles outbreaks with kids, sometimes with fatal consequences. And basically, am I right to say entirely preventable when we're talking about measles outbreaks?
Yeah, I mean, preventable in the sense that we have the tool to prevent it. There are some individuals that, you know, might be immunocompromised that might still be at risk for getting it. But when we think about the tools, vaccines and herd immunity are proven to prevent it. We saw the rates go down significantly when our herd immunity rates were great. And then, you know, over the past decade or so, we've seen these ongoing outbreaks and even here in Wisconsin. So yes, I would say preventable because we know what works to keep kids healthy from it.
Can we talk about herd immunity for a moment? And, you know, the magic behind it is that you don't necessarily have to have 100% vaccination, but there is a level at which, and if people are going, oh, well, if not everybody gets it, then I guess my kid or I don't have to get a particular vaccination. But you get enough people doing that, and it undermines what herd immunity is.
Right, exactly. And you need over 90% of the population to have herd immunity. In Wisconsin, our children, our immunization rates are in the 80s. So well below that, we're some of the lowest in the nation. So it's concerning that we're below those numbers because so many people have now been like, well, if I if I don't need it, then, you know, I'll be fine. But when that many people decide that they don't need to be vaccinated against it, you know, that's when we start to see problems like outbreaks that we're seeing.
Yeah. And we'll turn to the vaccine in just a moment, but to put the focus first on measles, and because there are these outbreaks that have taken place in Wisconsin and other states, let's talk a bit about measles itself, and especially for people who know kids might not be immunized, what are the signs and symptoms to look out for? So let's start with an overview of measles. What it is, it's nothing to sneeze at.
Right, exactly. So measles will start, you know, you might have an exposure, and then about 1 to 2 weeks after the exposure, you'll see those three common Cs. And I think the scary thing right now is in viral season, it might just look like a common cold. You know, your child might have a cough, they might have like red, runny eyes, and then coryza is like the congestion, runny nose, things like that. So those are the three Cs to look for. There is one thing that happens around this time that is a little bit unique to measles, and they're called coplic spots, and those develop on the inside of the mouth. So those are like small whitish bluish spots that develop like on the inside of the cheek back near the teeth. So those are kind of hallmark features. Now, during this time, you also have a high fever. And like I said, it could disguise itself like a common cold. You know, not everybody's going to be checking their child's mouth for those particular spots. Shortly following those symptoms, though, is when that telltale sign of that rash develops. So, you know, starting somewhere around the forehead and on the head, and very classically, it then spreads to the entire body, kind of working its way down. It's a reddish, brownish, flat rash. There's a really good picture of it on the video that was posted last week on Raising Wisconsin. But I think knowing where you're traveling to and if there has been an exposure for measles is going to be really important. Almost all of the cities, counties, states will have their public health website to let you know where outbreaks are happening. I know currently, I think there's Arizona, Utah, Texas, like we knew about, South Carolina, I saw one on recently. So just some of these areas to keep an eye out for. And then, you know, the care is mainly supportive for individuals that do contract measles, but some of the complications are scary. So there's pneumonia, which is, you know, an infection of the lungs, difficulty breathing. And then there's what we call encephalitis, which is basically an infection, inflammation of the brain. And those are the complications that really can cause death in children, especially those that are young and don't have, you know, the strength to fight off these infections. So the vaccine and herd immunity are the best things that we have to prevent against these serious complications.
We're talking to pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks, and this is not to be alarmist when we talk about how serious this can get, because, and I can't believe we're saying this in the United States of America in 2025, but children have died from measles.
Yes.
This is something yep. that is preventable. And it is to hear these stories. I believe it was Texas maybe where we saw one earlier. And I mean, one is too many when you've got something like a vaccine that can deal with it. Tell folks about the vaccine, you know, what it does, why it works. Is it for multiple things? There's the MMR vaccine. What do people need to know about it and its efficacy?
Yeah, so the vaccine is safe and effective. It's been tested so many times, and we know that. It's called the MMR, or the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. It's given after 1 year of age, and then again around that 4 to 5 years of age. There's going to be different guidelines depending on where you live, but traditionally 1 year and 4 years is what I've practiced before. It's a safe, it's effective vaccine. The one thing that I think I want to point out is for people that are concerned, and I actually had this question pop up, for individuals from like 6 months to a year, that's when that maternal immunity kind of starts to go away from measles. So there is actually the option for those younger infants below the 1 year age to get an additional vaccine. They'll still need to get the 1 year and the 5 year mark, but there is that option there to protect even younger individuals who are at a high risk. But again, it's a combination vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella. There's been talk recently about recommending splitting them up. That's not recommended by the AAP, to my knowledge. They have come out with their own guidance on a vaccination schedule in light of everything that's been happening with the ACIP recommendations recently. But yes, it's a great way for us to prevent this. And I've given it to many children who I have not seen any complications with it.
you mentioned ACIP, and it gets into this whole notion of, you know, the national oversight, especially with the change in administrations, with the new Health and Human Services Secretary. And the point I feel like we've taken away from recent events is that it is perhaps more important than ever not to rely on national voices or the, you know, Dr. Google and the rest of the internet, but to actually talk to your own provider who's going to be very upfront with you about, you know, the reasons why these vaccinations need to be considered and taken.
Correct. And, you know, they can go through every single risk that is out there. I know, you know, there's a lot of information that parents are fighting every single day, and it's tough. You know, you're getting all the risks that come with vaccines, like fevers. You know, there is a risk of a low risk of a febrile seizure. I think I've seen it once in the hundreds of vaccines that I'm giving, and children develop normally following that. But again, your pediatrician can walk you through these risks, but the risk of measles versus the risk of a febrile seizure, when I look at the severity of things like that, is something I think worth a discussion, but again, really important to think about the pros and cons of everything that you're looking at.
Dr. Kelly Snooks is a pediatrician. Check out her new Raising Wisconsin video series on the Up North News Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok video feeds. This next question is, it's going to come out and make me sound very frustrated because I am. It is this whole notion of number of jabs and people making this case of, these kids, they get so many more jabs, so many more needles than they did when we were younger. And this is terrible. These are too many jabs. And again, I'm oversimplifying, but there's also more food choices than ever before in the grocery store. There's more channels on TV than ever before. You know, more is not necessarily a bad thing. I'm also not saying it's a good thing, but it certainly sounds to me, Dr. Snooks, like we have more opportunities than ever before to keep kids from getting sick and dying.
Exactly. I think, you know, the more jabs is because science has advanced so much. And as we've created one vaccine and we learn from that and we see the successes behind it, I mean, the very first video I did with Up North News was the smallpox eradication, right? Like the creation of the vaccine. And just science has just continued to grow and grow and grow. And I think it's great because we are able to protect children from diseases that would have killed them before. You know, I think the argument about the jabs, look at life expectancy, right? I think in addition to public health measures like hygiene and things along those lines, science has really contributed to preventing these diseases that were killing children years ago and just short, you know, within the last few decades. So vaccines have accelerated since I was a kid. There's even more, like I had the chicken pox, right? But now there's a vaccine to prevent against the severe complications from that.
For folks who are, who maybe missed these as a kid and maybe they're young adults at this point and now they're on their own. I mean, are these still things that they could be protected from? Because I know there are some illnesses, if you don't have them as a kid and you catch them as an adult, they can be very bad.
Yeah, there's definitely catch-up schedules out there for individuals that want to go back and catch up on some of these vaccines that they might have missed in the past. The CDC did have a vaccine schedule. To be honest, I haven't looked to see if that is still up there on a catch-up schedule, but there are great catch-up schedules for individuals to take a look at and talk again with your healthcare provider to see what's missing and what you might need. There's a way to draw titers to actually see the antibody levels in your blood against these diseases, and then they can help you catch up from there.
All right, Dr. Kelly Snooks is here talking about her video series, Raising Wisconsin, over at the Up North News social media sites. Where are you going from here? You've talked about measles and vaccinations. We're getting into cold and flu and sniffle season. Are you touching on some of that in future videos?
Yeah, so we'll talk. This upcoming video is going to be about how to prepare for viral season, signs to look for when to seek care. You know, in the pediatric intensive care unit, the one thing that I see a lot during viral season is difficulty breathing. So talking about, you know, what are the signs and symptoms like, hey, I should probably be going to the ER, talking about the flu vaccine, the new RSV monoclonal antibody that is out there for young infants. Catching up on like your pertussis vaccines. I think all of these things are important. So talking with your healthcare provider to make sure that you're up to date on all of these to protect children, keeping them hydrated, things along those lines. Also talk about safety when shopping on Black Friday, like what is a risk in a toy when you're looking at toys to buy for children in your life. There are some things that you need to be on the lookout for to make sure that your kids stay safe. We're going to debunk or talk about the Tylenol correlation and causation with autism. So there's a decent amount going up. But again, I'd like to know if there's anything in particular that listeners or viewers want to see, because this is for everybody that's watching Up North News out there.
That's right. So put something in the comment sections of these videos. Dr. Kelly Snooks looks at it all. I'm going way off topic, but I know that you have been an advocate of gun safety for kids. And so knowing that in Maine last night, voters approved red flag laws, which are, you know, again, have 70, 80, 90% approval rating for Maine to pass those into place, surely has to say something about how Wisconsin could move ahead on that gun safety issue as well.
Yeah, I mean, extreme risk protection orders, I think, are great. There is data to show when they are implemented, they work. There is one on the board here in Wisconsin in the state this year. So I highly recommend, you know, if that's something that you're considering, I think there is momentum here and I think it's great. So individuals should check out the law that's been put into place and contact their legislators about it if they feel strongly about it. It's a movement on that.
All right, Dr. Kelly Snooks, thank you very much for your time. It's always good to catch up with you. We'll look for your video series over at Up North News.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me this morning.
Absolutely. Have a great day. We will wrap things up here. Some final news and notes from Lake Wissota right after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Rounding out this hour of Civic Media Spotlight, we now head to a segment from John and Gordy in the Morning, where they sat down with Liz Johnston from Serenity Pet Spa.
Great song. I love this. Tom and Christy Manis are with us today. They have a couple of books out, Secret Wisconsin and Roadsides. What is it?
Historic Wisconsin Roadsides.
Okay.
That was close.
Yeah. Don't have it in front of me.
92.7 WMDX. A few more minutes here with Tom and Christy. So let's talk a little bit more about... We mentioned yo-yos. We were talking about yo-yos during the break, and you brought a yo-yo with us to remind us.
That's right. You know, everybody loves a yo-yo.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, it's a wonderful story about Dunkin' Yo-Yos.
It is. From 1946 to 1964, they were made in a little town in northwestern Wisconsin called Luck.
Luck?
Luck.
Mm-hmm. Population 900.
900.
Wow.
Everybody worked there. And they made about 70,000 yo-yos a day.
A day?
Yeah. A day. 20 million a year during those years.
Now, this is before cell phones.
So obviously.
We had nothing else to do.
Play with your yo-yo.
Play with our yo-yos. Mm-hmm. I have a huge collection of Dunkin' yo-yos. I was really into it. I was not that good, but I really tried to be that good. Yeah. Some lit up. They had sparkles in it. Oh. Of course, they went up there in Luck, Wisconsin because of the wood.
They did, because they were made of wood at the time.
Sure. Yeah.
And maple is what they wanted, the hardwood. So that was the ideal wood for the yo-yos.
And the reason they shut down is they started to lose popularity. Mm. So a company, Flambeau, bought them.
Oh.
And made them out of the plastic that it is today. And I believe
Flambeau is in Baraboo, I believe.
Yeah, Wisconsin company.
Oh, yeah. It's still a
company.
They
make tackle boxes and
all kinds of
stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's a museum there. You can go see the museum.
The world's largest yo-yo is in the museum.
It's actually, it's a
small... Where, in Luck? Or
In Luck. In Luck.
How big is the largest yo-yo? Pretty darn big.
Okay. Waist high, maybe.
Yes.
Now, the thing is, they were made out of wood initially, but wasn't it Duncan? What's his first name?
Don Duncan.
Don Duncan. Wasn't he in the ads for Dunkin' Yo-Yo for a while?
He also invented or created the Good Humor.
Good Humor.
Yeah, with the ice cream.
Yes.
The ice cream.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's really something else too. Yeah.
And they moved the factory from Chicago to Luck because they could find workers for one, but it's also right there where the wood was.
Yeah. And then I was wondering, did they change the plastic and the plastics and the acrylics while he was still in charge of it, or was it just Flambeau that point?
It was after that.
All right, just had to know. No one cares.
No, come on, we care, right?
Wow. Yeah, we were talking about Tops too. At the same time, they had the yo-yo craze going on. We had
Marbles,
Tops. Now you said the
Jacks.
Yo-yo is still very popular. Where is it popular still?
In the Philippines.
Okay. All right.
It's crazy popular in the Philippines.
Really?
Wow. And they're doing all the tricks.
Yeah. Why would that be?
Really That's keeping weird. It going.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anything else? What do we got? A couple of more minutes here.
Else?
Oh, cozy in.
Yeah, it was a cozy.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
cozy
what we were going to talk about. Yeah. Okay.
So the Luck Yo-Yo Museum is in our book, Secret Wisconsin, as is the Cozy Inn in Janesville. And the Cozy Inn is a Chinese restaurant that everybody drives by, you know, every day. But it's the second oldest Chinese restaurant in the same location in the United States. And it's also the oldest Chinese restaurant in Wisconsin.
Wow.
But the thing is, we called it traveling egg rolls because people are, they're notorious for ordering, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, even 100 egg rolls at a time.
What?
To take back on the plane when they go home or in the car on a road trip in coolers. And they're that famous. And we actually had a friend of ours in Northwest Wisconsin. She came down here and bought 48, put them in the cooler because she's doing everything in the book. Or they're doing everything in the book.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
And they invited us over for dinner and shared them. But the story not only is about the egg rolls. The owner's mom was a famous Chinese chef at Toy's Chinese Restaurant in Milwaukee. I don't know if you remember that.
Sure.
Mm. Cool. I think it was a 6-story building, but that's also in her new book coming up in the spring. But she wanted to buy a restaurant, so she found the one and knew the people that owned the Janesville restaurant, the Cozy Inn. She bought it. Her kids grew up there as teenagers. But an interesting fact with this is Tom Fong and his wife Amanda, Tom is the son, they run it now, and his dad was a one of six Chinese survivors from the Titanic. Mm-hmm. And they said that he was the last person rescued from the wreck. They found him floating on a door, strapped on what they think was a stateroom door, but he was strapped on with a belt. So there's a lot of history there. But the thing is, when you pass something, you have to look deeper and go, is there a story here? Sometimes there's not, but oftentimes things you pass every day have a story that would blow you away.
Yeah, that's really interesting because it's there and you discovered it in some way, shape, or form because other people have discovered it. How are the egg rolls, though?
Oh, they're incredible.
They're very good. They
must be really good.
Are they big, small,
long? Oh, they're
long?
Big.
They're big. Okay. Yeah. They're handmade every day.
No kidding.
Right. Yeah. It's a two-day recipe, and they have a hint of peanut butter. That's kind
what
of
mean a two-day recipe?
Yeah.
It takes two days to make?
It does. It's a family recipe that takes 2 days.
Wow.
Okay.
And it's not like the process when you get now and you get off the truck.
Oh,
it's actual, you know, cabbage and pork and stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you want to see more about it, we do a show with NBC or TMJ4 NBC Milwaukee, where we take Stephanie Brown around to these places and introduce them to them. And Cozy Inn was one of them. So you
Very
can
cool.
learn
That's
more
great.
About
we'll
it.
Have to look for that. Definitely. All right.
Well, we're out of time, but Tom and Chris, you have a new book coming out in the spring?
Yeah,
What's that?
Tell us about that.
What's the name of it?
It's Lost Treasures of Wisconsin.
Okay.
It's about things that aren't here anymore, but everybody has good memories of.
And if people want to find out more, how do they find out? You Facebook?
You can go to, Tom and Christy Maness on Instagram. Our website is smalltownplussize.com. You can order the books from our publisher, Reedy Press. Just do a search for us. You'll find us everywhere.
Very good. Tom and Christy Maness. Christy with a K if you're Googling, okay?
That's right.
Right? Okay.
And Reedy Press is R-E-E-D-Y.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Come back.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah. Always fun.
Really?
Wild,
you want to come back
stuff.
Tomorrow? Or?
Yeah.
Sure.
No.
Drive back down.
Okay. Oh, we love coming down.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Stephanie Miller is next. Tomorrow on our show, Mike McCabe will join us because it's Wednesday. Okay?
All right.
Have a great day, John.
All right. I will.
Okay.
Tom. See you later.
So long, everybody. So long.
Christy, Tom, good day.
Yeah, it's good to have you.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.